It's one of the funnier one of the funnier podcasts I've picked up this year. First Timers. It's these two women that hadn't watched any kind of either sci-fi or fantasy movies, so they end up doing first-time reviews on, you know, Star Wars, and I know that they did Lord of the Rings. I haven't gotten to it yet, the Lord of the Rings stuff yet, but I think I'm almost up to the Star Wars stuff that I can listen to, because I know that they did a Solo one, they did Mandalorian, which, like I was saying, I haven't quite finished first season, so I'm staying away from all Mandalorian content until I'm completely caught up.
Yeah, the second season, I'll warn you now, to me, the first few episodes were just a rehash of the first season. Of, like, the first season's first few episodes.
Oh.
And I'm like, what are they doing? And then all of a sudden it gets going, like, okay, here we go. So... Oh, are you watching WandaVision at all?
Yeah, that's one that the wife does want to watch. She doesn't like the Star Wars stuff, but the Marvel stuff is a go. But we haven't gotten to that yet, though, because we've been trying to finish up. Schitt's Creek has been a big one for us here recently. And I'm trying to think of what else... Because there's another drama that we're watching that we're trying to knock out before getting to that.
Yeah. WandaVision's only got two. Well, it'll be three tomorrow. And they're only like 20-something minutes each.
Oh, okay. So they're going to be easy to knock out.
Oh, yeah. It's weird. It's not what you expect it to be, that's for sure. I'm not sure if I like it yet. But I know there's a bigger picture.
Oh,
goddamn hoping.
Yeah, like I just from some of the commercials that I've seen, I kind of dig that it seems like they have different period pieces with them, which has me intrigued.
Like, right now it's the Bewitched, which a lot of the younger audience doesn't understand.
Oh my gosh.
The set, the design, to everything. Bewitched, but flipped. So I don't know the last time we've seen Bewitched is. Everything took place from right to left. So the kitchen and everything was on the left-hand side.
Uh-huh.
And this, it's on the right-hand side. Which goes against a lot of like sitcom stuff. Most doors are on the right-hand side for some reason. I don't know why. Friends was the one that broke that. Friends had theirs on the left. Except for Joey Chandler's, which was on the right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
It's a weird thing,
but... Yeah, that was not a factoid that I was aware of, but I'm not surprised that something weird like that happens.
Yeah, because hell, I mean, even think about it, even like the Brady's, or the Brady Bunch, I should say, the front door was on the right-hand side. The dad's office is kind of dead center, actually, but very rare is on the left. So, I don't know why. At all, so
interesting.
Yeah. No. Oh, I didn't watch any of Raw, by the way. I just deleted the show. I don't even know what happened.
Yeah. Well,
I don't care.
Yeah, Chris and I talked about that one on Monday. So after that introduction, I'm Kevin. That's Jeremy.
Hey.
Stunt Granny Audio 626. Is starting off with a little movie talk, at least joined partway in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we fully got into the swing of that, I was like, yeah, just hit record and just keep going. Hopefully, people are used to these rambling introductions about something not wrestling, but yeah, Raw, whatever, man. It's tough to watch Raw. Like, I'm okay with SmackDown. But Raw is a tough watch these days, just because everything is a mess.
Well, yeah, I saw, like, I know results, like, not Asuka, she lost. Alexa Bliss beats Asuka, and halfway through the match she changes or something?
Yes.
Okay, cool. And then Randy Orton's looking like a weird serial killer with his burnt nose. Okay.
Yep. I actually don't mind that angle, so I'm not really going to bag on it. Like, that's one of the few angles on Raw that at least has some intrigue to it. It's kind of Matt Hardy, Broken Universe, zany, but sure, I'll roll with it.
Yeah, it's and I think that's the problem. All right, we haven't had a cinematic match, what, since, was it Money in the Bank? Is that like the last, what we call cinematic match?
I think so. I'm trying to think if there's been something in between, because NXT isn't really doing them at all.
Oh, Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman when they were on the, compound or whatever. That was the last one, I think.
Yeah.
And we haven't had one since. We haven't had one on any show. Well, I guess, I'm sorry, TNA, Hard to Kill, Ethan Page had his thing. But, well, that apparently was a nightmare. But it seems like, all right, so we've always heard, and again, I didn't see Raw, but I'm just guessing because I can put a few things together. Vince always wanted his show to be considered entertainment and not wrestling. And now with this pandemic stuff and the way, like, they're not having crowds yet until WrestleMania, I think this is like his big thing. Well, he clearly loves Randy Orton because he uses him all the time, even when he shouldn't. And then they've got this creation here with Bray Wyatt where you can do whatever you want. Now you've included Alexa Bliss in there. So it's like, wait a minute, we can actually make this a real TV show instead of a wrestling show that we're going to tell you is actual, you know, drama, comedy, whatever. I think that's why they keep doing this. This is like he finally got his wish.
Yeah, well, it's really not good, though, when you're... Like, I'm cool with the story, but that's only, you know, 30 minutes of Raw every week. Tops.
True.
Out of 3 hours. You cannot like it, you know. Maybe you don't like the zaniness. I guess I wouldn't really fault you that much. But, you know, that is the only thing that at least, to me, has some coherent thought. Like, yeah, I guess it might be grounded in Vince wanting to, you know, be TV producer, like TV producer, instead of wrestling producer.
Yeah.
But at least you can tell that it has something behind it. Like, oof, man. So much is just confusing on Raw.
I read the results.
So much.
The only thing from Raw that's actually worked out, besides Bobby Lashley, is this pairing of AJ Styles and Omos.
Oh.
At first, I'm like, what are they doing? But then you keep seeing, like, different videos, them on Raw Talk. Like, even, like, the little quips, like, Omos will say every once in a while. I'm like, this pairing is actually working.
Yeah.
Because he's not treating, like, AJ's the heel. And he's acting like a jerk, like especially the time where, it's Almost, right?
Or Almost. Yeah, Almost.
Yeah. He starts talking. He goes, wait a minute, you can speak English? He's like, yes. And he's just like, why did I know this? He's like, you never asked. And it's like, all right, he's such a heel, or like such a dick that he just automatically assumed the guy didn't speak English because he didn't talk at all. He's like, okay, and then even on, I don't know if you saw Raw Talk, which I thought was funny. AJ Styles said he has the best music in wrestling, period. And they Truth and, I don't know, whatever faceless reporter person, they start arguing with him. He goes, even Almost his favorite music. He goes, what do you think about music? And they always have AJ sitting and almost standing. So he looks even bigger. So AJ stands up and like puts the microphone up to his mouth. And as he's answering, AJ pulls it back down and starts talking trash to Truth again. It's little things like that you don't see. And it's like, okay, like I think it's funny, but it's not supposed to be. Like,
oh.
To like a wide audience, I can see them getting mad. Like, man, you're treating this guy like a jerk. But then, of course, he does something that, you know, whatever. So,
yeah,
it kind of goes against what I just said. But
and they work pretty well as an odd couple kind of situation going on. Because, like, I mean, almost does his job, and it gets to be so frequent and where the person that's in charge just essentially abuses the person that they have around for protection. I can't even say that that's what's happening with Elias and Jackson Riker, because that's a whole different ball of terrible.
Okay, so did Jackson Riker turn face on this show or something? Okay, that's all I need to know.
I don't know. Just confused. That's confusion is all I've got for that. But AJ Styles, you know, like, he's a dick to almost in little ways, but he's never, like, downright dismissive of him or, like, he doesn't. They tend to break that boundary where it's just like, come on, man. Even someone getting paid is not going to put up with that much bullshit.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and AJ is doing a good job of, like, toeing that line of being a dick, but also not being too over the top about it. Like, and he, you can even tell that he kind of, you know, is a little bit afraid of almost turning on him. So, like, he kind of walks some stuff back a little bit.
Well, especially when it was it, I don't know which one of them, but was either Elias or Riker, but when he went to hit AJ with the guitar, it almost just kicked it out of the air and stuff. And, like, that was cool. I mean, was really cool. So, but yeah, so so I saw Ricochet lost. At least he lost to AJ Styles, so that's fine.
Oh.
But.
Yeah.
I think Matt Riddle was on the show. Whatever. They've already tainted that one. Lashley's the only one, and I'm still wondering if he wins the Royal Rumble, or at least is Drew McIntyre's opponent at WrestleMania. Because all the rumors are it's going to be Seth and Roman in the main event.
Uh-oh. So, yeah, I mean, that would be one of the few, weirdly enough, it would be something of a fresh matchup in the scope of things.
Yeah, it's been a few years.
Huh?
It's been a few years,
yeah. Yeah, you know, you're never going to get, like, there are very limited true fresh matchups. So, yeah, a couple years in between main event matchup or problems is a good thing, and plus obviously at this time it would be the first time with Seth Rollins babyface and Roman Reigns solidly in the heel department.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So there will be a different dynamic to that matchup than there has been previously. So I wouldn't really be bummed about that happening. And, like, there aren't a whole lot of guys on the Raw roster that match up well physically with McIntyre, and they don't have a whole lot of names waiting in the wings other than Bobby Lashley.
Yeah. Well, I mean, McIntyre's supposed to be Goldberg first, I guess. So I guess we shouldn't go too far ahead of that, but.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it beyond WWE to let Goldberg win, but I just I'm hoping that that is not what ends up happening.
I mean, I know social media doesn't account for a lot, but when Goldberg came out to face Drew McIntyre, it was overwhelmingly negative. Like, why is he here? Like, again, another old guy, another guy coming. I was like, great, Goldberg's taking another. Like, I know it's not his fault, because why you gonna turn that money down? You know.
Oh, but, yeah, you can be on both sides of this. It's easy to be on both sides of this argument. Because, yeah, you can't really blame him. They're offering it, and there's at least some people that are paying attention because of it, you know? Like, that's kind of undisputable at this point, you know? It might not be you, and it's definitely not me. Like, I don't give a shit. But I guess I know that there are people out there that want to see it, and it's just like, I don't get it, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you, but it was just funny, because it didn't matter what platform it was, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever, the comments were not good. And most of the time, you know, you'll get a 50-50, but of course, you'll see the negative ones more often, but...
No.
But we're just in that period where they're not trying to sell tickets. I mean, WrestleMania, I think it was, what, 20,000?
I saw 25.
Wow, okay. That's going to sell.
Oh, yeah.
People are itching to go do something, and it's in Florida, so of course they're going to. So it's not like they have to worry about selling tickets for a show. I mean, I don't think the subscriber base for the network's gone down all that much. So,
oh, yeah. You
know, they're in a holding pattern. So it's like Goldberg winning is not out of the realm of possibility.
No. It would not completely shock me if that's what happens. Like, would I be a fan of it? No. But, what, you know, yeah, what are you going to do? Like, it's just one of those things where he looks great for his age, but to put on anything even getting close to resembling a modern wrestling match is really tough. Like, there's only, as much as I didn't mind him and Brock having super short matches, there's only so many times I want to see that. You know?
That's why when you were bringing up how Seth and Roman is as a fresh matchup, I know what you're meaning, but it's like, ugh. Man, they've done nothing to build anybody new. You know?
Well, and that's... Lord. I didn't know that we were kind of naturally leading ourselves. Did you... I did not listen to The Undertaker on Joe Rogan. But did you see his comments?
His thing about how the guys play video games now, and
yeah, everyone's
like their men being men.
Yeah, everyone's too soft.
That's not the first time that a veteran has said that.
Oh.
So to me, it's just like, okay. I mean, Booker T's mentioned it. I think Mark Henry's mentioned it. And I think the soft aspect comes from there's no, like, there used to be in a seemingly cutthroat environment to where you're trying to take my spot, you know? And I want to be on top. And we've had this discussion. The old timers or the guys who have been there for a while, they remember WWE being one way. And they see it now, and they're like, these guys aren't doing it the right way. Well, okay, but at the same time, isn't the boss not doing it the right way as well? You know, let's say, how many times you get irritated when they go, you got to build a relationship with Vince. You got to get him to trust you. You got to, and it's like, you hear wrestlers talk about how they have a relationship with him, but yet the product sucks worse than it ever has. So something doesn't add up. Like,
yeah, that's one to me that where he Undertaker is so loyal to Vince, he's a yes man.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Like, to me, that's true too. That's at least part of the problem. Like, I don't think Taker, he did so much for Taker. I don't think Taker can say Vince has lost it. And so he blames the guys. And it's just like, man, because I saw a pretty good argument for it online about, you know, why it is Vince and not really the wrestlers. Like, none of those guys are young. Like,
no.
You know, just so many people, especially the male portion of the roster. Like, the fact, like, I kind of laughed when they mentioned, I forget who the WWE signed a big name indie talent this week. And I'm trying to think of what the name is, and it's not really striking me, but they're like, oh, he's 36. And I'm like, oh my God, like, the guy's not going to debut on the main roster until he's almost 40.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who they signed.
Cause there was a bunch of different signings, recently. And,
well, I know Priscilla Kelly finally got signed. So, maybe Gigi or something. So,
yeah.
But, no, as far as guys go, I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm trying to, run through my headlines here to figure out where it is. But, I mean, I just started laughing when I saw it. Like I said, like, that is, you know, even some of the new talent in the WWE, and I mean, I think we've been talking about this for a while, honestly, like, Finn Balor is not a spring chicken. AJ Styles is almost our age, for Pete's sakes.
Yeah. He's already said this is his last contract.
And I don't blame him.
He's not young. Yeah, I mean, it's, well, even the guys I brought up, like, Drew McIntyre's in his 30s.
Oh, yeah.
Keith Lee's in his 30s.
Yep.
Like, I think he's like 35, 36. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens can't be that young.
He's in his mid-30s, too. I mean, yeah. I mean, that guy's been, Kevin Owens has been wrestling for, like, nearly two decades at this point. Like,
yeah.
I guess that's the other part that rings hollow. Like, some of these guys have really had to work hard and long, like Owens and like Balor, like, to even get to the WWE. Like, these guys weren't overnight sensations, and they did really well in a lot of different markets. Yeah. So that's the other part where, like, I just have a hard time taking that stuff seriously. Like, it's, to me, it's fine to say you don't like today's product. But to blame the wrestlers themselves, I think is, well, and I guess the other part of the argument was, and it's something that I know that you and I have definitely talked about since we mostly cover NXT and AEW, like, how many guys have left NXT guys and girls, and just got shit on the main roster?
All of them. I think the only one that had any sort of success was Finn Balor, and he got hurt. And the reason I'm saying all of them is, recently. I guess we need to add recently onto that. I watched, like the best of Luke Harper on the network today.
Uh-huh.
And Long, because they have his friends talk about, like, what their favorite matches. And they had that Shield versus Wyatt family match from Elimination Chamber was the first one.
Oh, yeah.
It's infuriating to think about that match now. Ambrose is gone. Eric Rowan's gone. Unfortunately, Brody Lee is literally gone now.
Yeah.
Roman's a heel, which he should have been anyways. Seth. All right, Seth is still around. He's coming back soon. And then, Bray Wyatt is a weird Mr. Rogers character. And you're looking at this act, you're like, these guys should have been tearing it up forever. But instead, after that, if it was going to WrestleMania 30, the Shield had that goofy segment thing with Kane and the Road Dogg and Billy Gunn. Remember, they just ran through them, but there was nothing for them after that.
Yeah.
And then Bray Wyatt lost to John Cena at WrestleMania 30. It's like, you see all this stuff, and it's not even hindsight. Everyone knows Bray Wyatt should have won back then.
Oh.
And just looking at that leading up to it now and seeing like how things are with no, literally no new stars, that it just, it's infuriating to think. And I was even, like, we were talking about this last time. I guess we can move to NXT, but it's almost a death sentence coming up from NXT now. You get destroyed. It's like, Vince, all right.
No.
And I saw this quote, and so I'm going to paraphrase it, but basically, Vince Russo was saying that Vince never paid attention to other stuff. So when someone got there, he really didn't know. He was like, all right, I don't know much about this guy. He was recommended. I watched some stuff now. So Vince Russo was insinuating, or flat out saying, Vince doesn't watch NXT because he considers it outside of WWE, even though WWE owns it. So when these guys come up, he's not that familiar with them. And I started thinking, he may be onto something.
As annoying as I find Vince Russo, that seems very accurate, because even the people that have succeeded haven't succeeded with their NXT characters in any way. You know, like, Bayley finally didn't hit her stride, really, until they turned her heel recently.
Yeah. Yes.
You know?
That Steve Austin Bayley Broken Skull Sessions is great.
Oh.
You can see Steve Austin loves that woman. Like, he is a huge fan, is what I'm getting at.
Oh.
He doesn't even try and hide it. It's great. It was great.
That was another thing that I kind of found hilarious about Taker's comments. Because talked about Triple H, but he's also like, oh, Shawn Michaels knew how to earn his stripes. And I'm like, Shawn Michaels is teaching there now.
Well, Shawn Michaels was also on drugs the whole time. Let's just be honest.
Oh.
He was a giant. He did his pills. He did all his stuff. He was a fuck up. He got suspended. He got fired. I mean, that's not exactly a great example. Like, he's a different person now.
Yeah.
But back then, is that what he means by men being men? I mean, that's just silly.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it was on Joe Rogan, so I don't know if he followed it up with anything. But the standard answer to that is, you know, the younger generation is different. But the younger generation also, hopefully, isn't going to die in their 40s from drugs, alcohol, steroids, whatever else.
Yeah, unfortunately, they just...
Hopefully these guys...
die from freak lung problems.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I know how this is going to sound, but you'll understand. I'll take one of those over 15 guys in a year dying.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Unfortunate. That's like one of those unfortunate yeses.
Yes. A catastrophe like that. To take the place of guys just dying, like, out of the blue, in quotes. But no, so it's like, if he would have stuck to, these guys don't know the business the way the old guys used to, or that they don't know how to handle themselves to get what they want from Vince. Something like that. But to say that he wants their men to be men, and it's like, I get what he's saying. He wants them playing cards, drinking, shooting the shit, getting in boys' trouble, whatever. Instead of, you know, playing video games, hanging out, drinking water, playing games, doing whatever else. Well, the thing is, and this is something that needs to be explained to him, they're making money doing this.
Oh.
Like, I know some people are just backstage playing games because they want to stay out of trouble. Some of them don't drink, you know?
Yeah.
And so Xavier Woods, he mentioned something on his Twitter account. And he's not wrong, but it's like, I guess you have to acknowledge it because it is the Undertaker, and he is, you know, he's regaled like that.
Yeah. But
at a time, it's like, dude, shut the fuck up. How many of your friends are gone? So like when they were talking about Yokozuna, where's he at? Because he wasn't, I mean, he ate himself to death in that case, but it's like, he didn't take care of himself. I mean, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if he wants his money, but how many broke wrestlers are from the men being men generation?
A lot.
So, it's like, okay.
Yeah, and these guys are being smart. Like, it's kind of funny that you almost feel like John Cena seemed to be a poster boy for that kind of situation. You know, like, obviously it helped that he was at the top, but he also seems like he... Because didn't they start doing the testing around that time? Because everyone thought that Cena was not going to be the same size as Cena. Wasn't that a thing?
I don't know. Well, I know when they were... Well, there's always been the innuendo or insinuations that the WWE's testing...
Oh, yes.
...doesn't apply to some people.
Yes.
But... So it's like, okay. But... Now, it's... I understand what he's saying is that he wants it to be like the good old boy days.
Oh, right.
But much like we do whenever we get nostalgic, we glorify those times instead of going, oh yeah, Ric Flair's been bankrupt how many times? Ric Flair couldn't stop drinking. Ric Flair, I'm just using his as the example. Hulk Hogan, a guy that had it all, kept drinking, nearly went bankrupt as well. And it's like, okay, I guess in Hulk's case, it's an extenuating circumstance because of divorce or whatever else. But then you've got Jake Roberts. Is that men being men? Look how long it took him to get Scott Hall. I mean, where's Perry Saturn at? That poor guy.
Oof.
How many guys died from men being men, you know? All right, we just beat each other up. Let's go drink instead of, you know, taking it easy. Read a book. You know?
Oh, well, yeah.
He's got to think.
And one of those men still being men. Holy shit. You saw that moonsault from, or that lion salt from Chris Jericho, right?
All right. All right. I want to blame it on his current condition, but it looked like he hit those ropes awkwardly.
Yeah.
And instead of bailing, still did it.
I think he wrong angled that or something.
Well, Brian Alvarez, I was listening to Figure Four or Observer Radio Live today, and I already deleted AEW, so I couldn't go back and watch. He was saying that he was out of position when he did it because he had to come in from the side instead of coming straight.
Oh.
If that's the case, then fine. But his current condition does not help. Doesn't help the criticism, especially.
No, that gives people that you don't want easy fodder.
Yeah, yeah.
That's for sure. It looked really bad. But I mean, he's another one. Like, I guess that's one of those things where it cracks me up how much he's shown off his body. But I'm like, dude, stop drinking. Like. As much as the talk and shop things were fine, like, I'm like, dude, you've taken this rock and roll lifestyle thing a little too far now.
Yeah, it's what he's always wanted. It's what he always wanted. So, I guess getting into, like, if you want to put a rock and roll lifestyle, if you want to put it that way, at the age of 50, probably isn't the smartest thing.
No, it screams midlife crisis at best.
Well, I will say, I guarantee you, there's some arrogance to it, too. I mean, look what he did. There's no AEW. I mean, I guess there would have been, but there wouldn't have been the hype around it if he doesn't join.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
And then they come in, and they're off and running, and he was the centerpiece. When it started. That's kind of a hard thing, I guess, not to let it go to his head. Because, you know, I've read all of his books. Jericho doesn't exactly think of himself with low standards. So,
yes.
Nor should he, I guess. But
yeah, I mean, he still thinks he's the lead singer in a band, so.
I mean, they did perform a show last year, so I give him that much.
I saw him in person once. That was enough.
Oh, I don't remember you ever talking about this. It wasn't good.
They're great. Like I've said this, I've maintained this because that band is essentially Stuck Mojo with a different lead singer. Because I think it's guitar and bass player from Stuck Mojo. It might be a different drummer, and then Jericho.
Okay.
And Rich Ward is a good to great guitar player. So, you know, like, the music sounds great. I think his singing is not good. Especially, like...
Yeah, well, they do a lot...
The studio makes it sound better when they have it recorded. When he's live, like, that's one where, like... Rob Zombie was always one to me that he just isn't as good live as he is in a studio. And Jericho is on that. Except the thing with Rob Zombie is he puts on the best show you'll ever see. And Chris Jericho does not.
Yeah. I mean, we're getting into that age. So it's like I feel dumb, like, criticizing someone's appearance. But I'm also not in a professional athletic sport.
Oh.
Or profession, excuse me. But I keep waiting for him to disappear. Because for the longest, the last 10 years, he'd wrestle for a year or so, take off for a year or so. And maybe AEW's schedule is just different, especially with the pandemic stuff where they're just in the same place. Maybe it's easier for him to be around, but I'm still waiting for him to disappear and come back with a new look. And I'm actually wondering if that's where this Inner Circle stuff is going.
It's
pointless right now.
I can't believe that they thought that was some type of cliffhanger ending this week. Because they're like, what's happening to the Inner Circle now? And I'm like, I thought this match was supposed to settle things. Like, and no one really did anything super underhanded in the scope of things.
Yeah. They're all bad guys. So.
Yeah, so it's just like, huh? Like, no, nothing weird happened that should make them either hate or like each other more. You know, I don't think Sammy Guevara is going to respect MJF anymore. Like, I wanted them to have buy-in to this whole thing so that there would be a reason for the split eventually. But they've just continued to bicker the whole time. And I'm like, oh, you guys are just not helping the storyline out at all.
Yeah, and the whole point of the Inner Circle is they were tight-knit. And that was it. Like, they never argued. They always got along. They do whatever else. And then a quick 180 to where they're always arguing now. Like, okay, it just went from, like, 0 to 100 just out of the blue. It was weird. It's weird to me. And then now it just seems to be meandering the whole time. Like, okay, now we got – so now Jericho and MJF are the tag team. And it's like, this doesn't even make any sense. Like, shouldn't they be going for their own titles? But I guess a group with, what was there, five? No. Seven, eight people in it?
12, I think. Are you sure there's not 92?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not the Dark Order. So no, it's not that many. But
yeah,
I don't know where it's going. And actually, this whole episode of AEW this week That's got to be their weakest one.
Oh. Yeah, it was kind of all... They did a good job, because... And I think we talked about this, because we thought NXT was kind of weak last week, because they were just coming off their New Year's Evil double show. They had the same problem since they did their New Year's shows a week later.
Yeah.
Than NXT. So... yeah, they definitely had the same... Yeah, it is just like they're just starting to get the new storyline started, and it was... all of it's just really weird. The Kenny Omega stuff is just... It, with Don Callis is... I'm not even sure what to say. Like, it's one of those things that I'm just like... Yeah, I'd like the cat's got my tongue literally on this one. Like, do you have anything about that situation?
I'm just confused what's going on. Like, so the all right. So one, if you missed Impact this week, that was pretty cool because AEW people showed up there. So there's still like this thing between AEW and Impact, and it's growing, which is great. But then. I didn't understand. So Don Callis is writing the Bucks checks to not be his friend anymore, or to pay them for being his friend. I'm like, what? And it's like they've established that people do watch television. So wouldn't Kenny see this and be like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Unless he's under direct orders, which we've never gotten quite clear. The actual relationship. So is Don his spokesman now? And then the Bucks just... All right, I'm sorry. We've been friends for, shit, almost 30 years now, which is fucking bizarre to say out loud. But...
Yeah, it's...
Have you ever...
It's been a while.
I'm trying to think. You know, I guess we just walked in each other's doors, but at least we'd knock or something first. The Bucks go to Kenny Omega's place, and the front door's open. They just walk in. And I'm like, wait, one, what? You don't do that? It's weird. And I did like Michael Nakazawa being the butler. Like, okay, that's kind of funny. But that whole thing was weird. I know they wanted the cheap laugh with the painting. I got, all right, I say I got a giggle out of it. Like, all right, that's pretty gaudy.
Oh.
And then they go to all this other stuff, and I'm like, all right, it's not compelling to me because it's just silly. And then we're supposed to think that they beat up Don Callis. And then Kenny's like, who did this to you? And he tells us the Bucks. And like, unless this is Don Callis' master plan to break up the Elite and somehow weaken AEW so that Impact can grow from it or something like that. If there's some master plan, but... As it stands, I'm just kind of like, okay. I don't know. But at least it was not being the Elite. It was actually on Dynamite for a change.
Oh. Yeah. I guess they did move some stories forward. I guess I more didn't like that as much as, you know, I guess at least they were doing something with that time.
Yeah.
The quick text that we had before we started recording, I mean, that was definitely an angle worth just texting about.
Trash. Miro has been a giant disappointment on that show.
Yes.
From the debut to everything. Like, he had that one big moment with the Diamond Ring Battle Royal, whatever that thing's called.
Yeah.
Where he was actually Rusev again, and by the way, another NXT guy that was off and running WWE until Vince just goes no, like, okay.
Yeah, he came out with it was all downhill after the tank.
Yeah, it really was another WrestleMania where Cena should have lost. But anyways, I don't know. They tried to have more angles on Dynamite than matches. Like, Peter Avalon and Cody, whatever. I don't know why it was there except for Jay Cargill?
Yeah, Cargill.
Which they've never explained why.
They have not sufficiently explained why she has such a hard-on for beating up Brandy.
Yeah. Was Cody smashing that before Brandy or something? Like, she seems pretty young. Not saying Brandy's old, but she's pretty young. So, it doesn't make sense unless I miss something. But he is going to address it next week. Okay. Like, they're good for hooks. But sometimes the setup is just kind of like, okay. Like, Moxley this week got to actually, move forward with his character. Even though that was like, God, this is taking a while.
Oh.
I don't know. It's just, this was the first AEW show in a long time where I'm just like, okay. Like,
no.
Nothing really exciting going on.
No. No, it was definitely a fresh start show, and yeah, since Omega seems to be tied up in like several feuds right now, yeah. Moxley really needs to drop the whole get the belt back, it, you know, for the time being thing. Like, he can always bring up that he didn't get to, you know, get a rematch added, and come about things later.
Yeah. And I actually really like the guy he faced. I don't remember the guy's name. I've seen him on Dark a few times.
Oh.
That big guy. Like, he looks like he'd be perfect for the Wyatts if they'd ever bring that back, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, he just reminded me of Doug Furness for some reason.
I understand why. I was going to go with John Nord, the Berserker.
Oh, that, yeah, like, I feel like he kind of had that more of that early bodybuilder physique thing going on, which is why, that's why it kind of took me to that time period, so Berserker works.
Yeah. One of my favorite guys back when I was a kid. He was just so crazy and interesting, but anyways. But no, like, AEW went more with trying to get some stories going. I'm guessing Adam Page turned heel by saying no to the Dark Order, because they went in through the faces entrance or exit, and he went through the heel one.
Oh.
But I was like, but that's not, that. If so, that's an awful ass heel turn. Like, he was like a dick. He was just like, I'm going to have a lot of fun, guys, but no. Like, no, it's okay, thanks.
Yeah,
like,
well,
they put him up there, it's like they pressured him, so.
Yeah, I thought he made his stance pretty clear, honestly. Like, and yeah. It would have been, unless they really would have just said, you're the leader, I don't think that works. You know, with him going over there. Like, it really would seem disingenuous for a guy who just spent the better part of 6 months trying to leave the Elite to just join into another group would be really strange.
Yeah, yeah. It wouldn't have worked. So, it's better this way. And they can't do one of these angles where, well, if Planet Page loses, he has to join the Dark Order thing. We've already got that with Miro and Charles Taylor. So.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. I sound kind of down on the episode just because it was just kind of meh. Like, whatever.
Yeah, it was not great. Like, it wasn't terrible. Like, you know, like I said, it kind of, again, to me, it felt like NXT's show last week where they were just kind of starting to move things in one direction. And, yeah, you're going to have those shows every now and again. And, I mean, they're given the nice thing about AEW is that they are giving themselves a little more. I feel like they're giving themselves a little more time in between pay-per-views. So I don't know if that's kind of a little bit of a cause for their a little bit of a writing lull too. Like, they just have more time to build stories. The WWE, and you know, just is more rapid fire with how much they need to come up with.
Yeah, which goes back to what you're talking about, how like Seth and Roman is a fresh matchup because they burn through everything else. But no, it's, I'm trying to think, what else was on this? Was it Layla Hirsch? That was fine.
Yes.
I have a hard time. Layla Hirsch is right up there with Marco Stunt for me. Although they try to give you her like background info, like all the amateur stuff she did. It's like, okay, cool. Yeah, I don't know. This is most of the time I usually watch AEW first, but I found myself flipping back and forth, and it just went, screw it, I'll watch it in the morning. I think maybe I'm just tired or something like that. But no, it wasn't overly interesting this week.
Yeah,
the Sting Darby Allin stuff, I don't care. Like, AEW has so many people that don't do anything. Like, all right, so Sting comes in, Darby Allin, then all of a sudden on the screen is Taz, his kid, Ricky Starks.
Oh, is that who that other person was?
Yeah, Hook is Taz's kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the kid that was just used as leverage by Cody Rhodes is now on the team with his dad, who supposedly he kind of hated because he didn't train him right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
That is not addressed at all.
Great.
But I just look at that going, none of these guys were on the show, but yet we brought in another guy in Sting. Like, I don't know. WWE gets a lot of flack about the size of their roster and what they do with it, but you don't hear about it from AEW, and you should. Uh-huh. Because, yes, I know they have AEW After Dark, where there's 57 matches, and it's like, okay. Like, okay, so we have, all right, so for instance,
well, I mean,
Sean Spears.
I was going to say, the one thing that killed me this week, and it's something that happened on Impact, I had to laugh that Matt Cardona comes over in his big move from WWE finally, and that guy can't even get a win on Impact television, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, everyone thinks Sean Spears' thing is an angle of some sort, but he comes in, he has that one match with Cody, and then nothing. He had a feud with Scorpio Sky on Dark, and then he quits. And it's kind of like, okay, and they keep bringing in new people for no reason. Like, how many tag teams does AEW have now?
Oh.
I can't even name them all, let alone count them all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. A lot. Because they needed a little bit of help in the tag team division because they were a little bit light in general. But now they've gone the other direction. And again, like, Santana and Ortiz are still, they might have stated that they want to go after the tag championships, but they didn't put them on any path to go after them still.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've even got a feud with Jungle Boy, or I'm sorry, Jurassic Express and FTR. But it's going to be a singles match next week. Huh? Like, wait, what? I don't know. It seems disorganized. Maybe they've got something that I'm missing, but there's so much talent that doesn't do anything. And I know people say, well, there's After Dark or there's AEW Dark. I'm like, that doesn't count. That's like saying, all right, well, Ricochet was on Main Event. No one cares.
Yeah, you were in fill-in stuff. Like, well, and you talked about it, and I'm glad that they brought it, the waiting room.
Yes.
You know, that, you know, it works, and it is something that, again, I guess because I've been more dependent on my phone for watching content recently, I might be more apt into watching dark, but it's still kind of a tough sell. There are just other things that are ahead of that, that it's just like, sorry guys, you're only getting X amount of my time. Yeah. You know, if it's not on Dynamite, or if you don't bring it from dark to Dynamite, nope.
Yeah. I mean, luckily I work from home, so I can watch all this stuff. And watch is very subjective right now. but then, like, I've trying to catch back up with MLW, because they're going through, like, their own talent upheaval. And, like, they've got Leo Rush is on the show, ACH is on the show now, so there's like some quality people, so I'm trying to watch them. But it was like after, I can't remember if I watched Dark or not, but I watched Impact Tuesday night. And by the way, Impact was the best show this week. The show was good. It was solid all the way through.
Okay.
There was no groan moments or any of that stuff. And then, it had intrigue. It had some surprises. And, you know, people leaving, so they were actually writing them off in, like, you know, a good sustenant way. But, so watch that. I think I watched the Bailey Broken Skull. I think that was Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. No, that was Monday, so never mind. But anyways, but it's like, you get wrestling out after a while, no matter how much you enjoy it. And,
oh, yeah.
Like, I'm still waiting on the last MLW episode, and I didn't even watch Ring of Honor from last week yet. And it's like, I got other stuff I want to watch, and right now with no crowds, stuff is still goofy as hell, man. And so I think that's part of the drain.
Yeah, because
I also look at this as there's so much opportunity for wrestlers to go somewhere else now. That I wonder, like, you know, AEW's on TNT, they got all the hype behind them. But if you can go somewhere else and make the same money, I can't see why you'd want to go to AEW right now. If you can get on the other shows and be on TV every week, or almost every week, I should say.
Yeah, if you can work, it seems like you can work out a schedule beneficial to your needs in a lot of places. So yeah, I guess it'll be kind of interesting. Like, I think this next round of WWE guys, like, I guess I have been a little bit surprised, and I never ended up looking that up, that the WWE is still signing talents, because it just seems like, here we go. Oh, that's from one day ago. Okay.
Yeah, because...
Oh, that was just the ladies, but I want to say that there is another one. Shaw Samuels or something like that?
Well, Sam Shaw is Dexter Lumis, so... That can't be it.
No, it was Shaw Samuels was the guy's name. He was an indie guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't get...
That was one of them.
I get why you'd sign for money, but I don't get why you're signing people. Like, NXT is so overloaded with talent that they don't use as well. So, talent is fine. As long as they're still mentioned, but there's sometimes... Like, they only bring Breezango out when they need a tag team. Hey, we need someone to get beat up, right? See what Tyler and, you know, Johnny Curtis are doing right now.
Yeah, they got their title run so that they can get that on the books, And they're just like, yep, back down to your spot.
Yeah, it's weird. But I mean, like, Dexter Lumis hasn't been on since, which is fine, you know. It's okay to rotate people out as long as you don't forget about them. Like Bronson Reed disappeared for a few months. I'm like, what happened to him? Then he comes back, and I've never mentioned this before. It drives me crazy. They gave him that brand new entrance and all that stuff. And in his entrance, his, you know, his silhouette, or whatever, has his long old hairstyle.
Oh.
And as soon as he debuts with that new video and all that, he has a different hairstyle now. It's like, dude, you should have at least kept it for like one or two entrances. But it just, there's so much talent. I mean, and especially because Marty Scurll is a free agent now. Dalton Castle. I'm trying to think who else. There's a couple other guys.
Oh, yeah, and I'm still not. I swear there's another name other than Shaw Samuels that I saw get signed this week, but I can't find it anywhere. So, whatever, I guess, at this juncture. But yeah, like that really is the thing. Like, it seems like it's almost to that point where I guess I remember making this argument about college sometimes. Like, it almost seems like it would make sense for some people to go to smaller schools so that they could get the exposure rather than, you know, being buried on that roster. It's crazy in there for the women and for the guys. You know,
look at this. Sorry, you broke up on me. I thought you were done.
Oh, yeah, I mean, the fact that the ladies can do an eight team tournament. I mean, I know that most of them are going to go back to being singles wrestlers after this is over, but I mean, that still tells you how good of a roster that they have.
Right.
That they can put that together without really without using everyone on their roster. Like, because was Aaliyah in there anywhere?
Yes, she was actually in there.
Yes. Oh, okay. Because I was trying to remember who all the female teams. Because we really just got, is it just the one match on NXT this week for the ladies, Dusty?
Yes, yeah. They just wanted that big upset moment. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And it kind of made sense for that. The Mercedes Martinez Tony Storm team seemed kind of weird from Jump Street.
Well, all the women's teams are pretty weird.
Yeah.
Like, even Marina Shafir is not with Jessamyn Duke.
Oh.
She's with somebody else. Like, what? So I don't know if she's not training anymore or if she's still in NXT, whatever happened to her. I mean, she's on, like, you know, she's on, like, her Twitch channels and all that stuff, but...
Yeah, and she was on Raw Underground not that long ago. Jessamyn Duke. Yeah. So, I mean, I would imagine she's still signed. I did find that one strange myself.
Yeah. I just did not understand why, but whatever. So, I think part of the thing is, yeah, because Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai are in it, right?
Yes. Yeah, that team made sense.
Yes.
And we already talked about Team Delicious last week, so.
Yep. Well, they got to be mentioned every week, so. But yeah, like, it was funny because NXT actually had a bunch of storylines going again. Actually, really one big storyline throughout the show. And the one thing that they really established was that the NXT title is important. I know we got all this stuff with the Dusty Cup and all that, right? But you had Finn Balor, you know, the champion. And then and this doesn't really make a lot of sense because Pete Dunne's talking about him going after Finn Balor, right?
Yeah.
Didn't Pete Dunne just get done losing clean to Kyle O'Reilly?
Not that long ago, yes.
Yeah, so it's like, what claim can you possibly have for the NXT title? Like, that's pretty goddamn dumb. But it's Pete Dunne, so, you know.
Yeah.
I want to see that match, basically. So.
Yeah, that's my hook. I want to see that match. Like, yeah. Storyline-wise, it doesn't make a terribly large amount of sense.
And then you got Karrion Kross, who keeps talking about how he hasn't lost, he never lost a title. So, it's, you know, there's people focused on the title, which is good. And it makes it more important because, you know, Kyle O'Reilly's, you know, obviously not, you know, not done with Finn Balor as well.
Oh. But,
all right, so real quick, where the hell Bobby Fish go this time?
He got arrested storming the Capitol, I'm gonna guess.
Ugh. I mean, goddamn, man. That poor guy.
Hold on. No. I forgot. He legit got injured at War Games.
No, he's been back since then. He's wrestled since then.
I thought someone got injured. I swear someone got injured at War Games.
Oh, you know what? Maybe I'm not remembering that correctly then. Okay. God damn. But again, god damn, dude.
Yeah, he definitely has, confirmed to be at elbow.
Okay. All right. It sounds familiar.
Yeah.
But it's just like, good grief.
Yeah, he has not had a lot of luck in the injury department. But again, he's also another guy that, in a lot of ways, I'm not terribly surprised. He's in his late 30s.
Yeah.
You know, like, he is not exactly a spring chicken. So.
No, he's not. I think he is. I think he's actually in his 40s now. Like, he's always been a little bit older than everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, because I think that he had some type of amateur, you know, like a real amateur background kind of situation. Or MMA, like real MMA experience.
Yeah, you can kind of tell those guys. They always conduct themselves a little bit different. So.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's. I thought the NXT show was fine, but again, it was another one where. One, the upsets in the tournament were just kind of surprising, because I honestly thought Leon Ruff was eating the loss on that one.
Yeah, yeah. And Fish is 44.
Wow, really? He's only 2 years younger than me. Damn.
Yeah.
But no, so it's like, and like the Katsuzero thing. I understand from a story aspect. All right, cool. That's fine.
Yeah, just but, because it's. because it was a makeshift team, it was fine. They're not going to win it. It's either going to be Raquel and Dakota or Team Delicious, I think, taking home the championship.
I can see Raquel
and Dakota.
Dakota Kai doing it.
Yeah.
Because she's supposed to be the top female now. You know, with Rhea being probably gone to either Raw or SmackDown. You know, she's the top dog there now.
Yeah. So,
you know. But no, it's like, I enjoyed the shows just fine, but as, like, newsworthy or to make an impression on me, nothing really did.
The fight pit did not make an impression on you?
I liked it. I liked the Riddle one better because it's two guys who are trained MMA. I was very surprised by the end. I figured Ciampa would get pass out, you know, like Thatcher did with Matt Riddle. I didn't see the tap coming at all. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, that part was that was interesting. And then him and Thatcher, I know they didn't really make up at the end of the match, but there was definitely some interest as far. Because, like, Ciampa is like a lot of the guys on that roster where him and, like, Gargano got his makeover by turning heel. Because Ciampa's done both things, he can't really freshen up by just flipping one way or the other. But he kind of needs something fresh because he does not have that fresh new NXT smell to him anymore.
No. Especially with him growing his hair in, he's looking a little older now, which is weird. But
yeah, I was sitting there thinking, dude, you should really shave your head.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. So maybe it's a conscious decision. And he does want to look a little bit older to be like the veteran. It goes along with the veteran not liking going back to The Undertaker, thinking that everyone's soft and entitled.
He has been playing that card, or both of them are really playing that card, which is kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, at least one's a character. I like the fight pit. The one thing that I just have a problem with the announcers in general most of the time. But, man, they were so, like, the hyperbole about, oh shit. I don't realize
my did you almost die on air?
No, my laptop was not plugged in. And the battery, like, just the battery popped up yelling at me. Oh. There we go. Hey, all right. So, no, it's the hyperbole surrounding, like, what the fight pit is. There's nothing like this. Like, that is just steel and wood. I'm like, so? Oh. Like, isn't Elimination Chamber or Hell in a Cell way worse than this? Like, just calm down the rhetoric. Everything is so over the top. Yeah, it sucks. It's a pit. There you go. Like, all right? So, you're fighting where a crowd would be, I guess. I don't know. I don't understand what the top is for, but I guess to give the other wrestlers more options for offense. But I like the fact it's just a fight. It's cool.
It's almost like Raw Underground, but not being Raw Underground. And I would almost like it more because it was kind of funny that they made the comparison to what did Ken Shamrock call his? Lion's Den.
Lion's Den, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was just a straight-up octagon, and they kind of called out that balcony feature, but I'd rather it not have the balcony and, you know, just really have it be a fight. And I guess it's fine to point out that there's not the same padding or whatever in the mat as usual, but
It
was a little overhyped, and plus, in general, they've used that to keep, like, that's, to me, almost feels like an old steel cage where they just use it to keep people in and not to interfere in any, you know, like, not to have any shenanigans go on during a match.
Yeah.
And that's fine to use it that way.
Yeah, but these guys, that was never the case with this. This was just two guys that are going to fight. So it was kind of cool. But it's just like listening to Vic and Beth Phoenix just over and over telling me how terrible it is. Like, oh, God, enough. It's like,
I have
no doubt that falling down the ring hurts, but seeing this other guy punching you in the nose, that looks like that hurts a lot worse. With more long-lasting effect, too.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where after you've seen, like, a no-holds-barred match and, like you said, a Hell in a Cell match, or even any type of street fight, it's just like they don't really pull out the tables and the ladders and the chairs and that type in the fight pit environment. So, like, it's just naturally not going to look as vicious as anything like that. Like, as much as it's more supposed to be a, you know, kind of a men being men kind of a fight pit thing, You know, I'm sorry, some guy jumping off of a ladder, crashing through someone, is just looks like it's going to hurt more than anything you can do in a fight pit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I will say I did like the end, because that looked awful. Like, Ciampa's ankle is very flexible, because that looked like that was in the absolute wrong place. Never mind, like, having the leg outside the cage and all that stuff. And so that's why when he tapped, I was like, wow, I'm surprised he tapped. But, damn, that looked awful. And then Thatcher returns the favor and staring at him. And now apparently Thatcher and Ciampa are going to be the team to replace the poor guy that Karrion Kross murdered and his partner. I wish I could remember his name. I don't.
Ashanti Adonis.
Oh, so that was him. Okay, that's what I was going to say. So,
all right. Yeah.
But he took that suplex, and he came up holding his neck. And I'm like, he's acting pretty good. And the referee got down. I'm like, that's weird. And then Kross gave him the next one, and it was even worse. And I was like, okay. And then I know Karrion Kross is waiting for his spot. Like, we've got a post-match angle. And, you know, he actually gets to do it, but there were a lot of people checking on him.
Oh.
Like, they never threw up an X, so he was never, I guess, that badly hurt. But I'm wondering if that's either a really good sell job, which if it is, kudos to everyone involved, or, you know.
Yeah, he was really injured.
Yeah. So, and it was just the plan all along for Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher to be partners. I don't know. But
yeah. That was the other thing. Like, I do like that about NXT, but it can also kind of give it that moving along feel. Karrion Kross and Bronson Reed both had matches that were, you know, fine for what they were, but it doesn't exactly make for a memorable night either. Like, no. I like squash matches. They're effective. You know, it also, yeah, again, not terribly memorable.
Yeah. But it's like, all right, so in the case of Karrion Kross, does he need to be on TV in those matches? Shouldn't he be, like, held out? Like, Finn doesn't wrestle all that much on free NXT. Shouldn't Karrion be kind of in the same position?
Yeah, I guess they feel some need to reestablish him, but it's kind of weird just because he really didn't have that, you know, like, he was on the shelf, but 3 months, honestly, in the scope of some of these injuries that the superstars have had really isn't that long. Like, you could have almost gotten away with keeping the NXT belt on him if you had wanted to.
Well, especially after Finn broke his jaw. Like, he hadn't defended it in a while. Defends it, breaks his jaw, doesn't defend it for a while again. So it's kind of like,
yeah.
Yeah, which I don't think it needs to be defended every week anyways. So that's fine. Once a month for that title is probably all it should be. And, I mean, for any of them, really, but that's a whole other argument. So, but yeah, the show was good, but again, kind of meh. Like, okay, it would just set up a bunch of stuff for another time. And really, the Dusty Cup is fine, but not having actual teams. I know it wasn't like that, you know, the other times, but, like, seeing Imperium lose just kind of blew my mind. What?
Yeah, that's why I was almost not surprised, because I feel like the women's match was third, and we had already had two upsets.
Yeah.
On the men's side of the bracket, and I'm just like, oh, are they just going with an upset theme today? Because, yeah, Imperium losing was a little bit of a surprise to me.
Yeah, well, that's why I wonder if Alexander Wolf is back to get their ass in shape because they've been losing too much and are disgracing the sacred ring. If you watch UK, that's the whole gimmick. So
yeah, they definitely seem like they're in store for a Xia Li and Boa type brow beating, but in a more of a German style instead of a Chinese style.
You know the Germans can do some weird shit, so let's hope not. But, yeah, it was like I didn't miss or mind that Xia Li missed this week. Like when you get like that much of an entrance or that much of a build up, it's kind of like I don't know if this should be an every week thing before it gets old.
Oh. So, yeah, it's if she does that big entrance every week, it's gonna become humdrum pretty easy.
Yep. Yeah.
Because I mean, they're
ridicule as well.
They're as much as I like Finn Balor, I'm glad he's not the demon all the time.
Yeah, I guess that's not gonna happen anymore. He doesn't want to do it anymore.
And that's also fine as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, well, like, it was a phase, it worked, and he just seems to have taken a turn character-wise, and that's also a good thing, I think.
I guess. Oh.
He seems more determined to me, maybe a little more serious isn't quite the right word that I think I'm looking for. But I guess because he has such a short time on top, and I don't feel like NXT, there's more exposition and talking in NXT now than when his initial reign took place.
Yeah.
And I think he's a pretty good talker, and I've enjoyed his little, videos and whatnot that they've produced with him. I think there's just, to me, some type of an enjoyable edge to his character that I don't feel like was present before for him. So, yeah, I'm kind of digging that aspect of what's happening there with Balor and NXT this time around.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where less is more. Like, this is the most he's been featured on in episodes since he came back. Outside of wrestling. He was all over the place.
Oh.
So.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad. I mean, it's... Again, you put your stars out and then take them away for a while. So, and to jump to AEW real quick, that was one thing I actually really liked. This week, they were talking to Eddie Kingston about facing Lance Archer. And what happens, Lance Archer interrupts. It's like, you just want me to beat your ass now. Like, and they get separated, whatever, and he leaves. I just thought that was a cool way to get him on the show in a memorable way. Like, whoa, what's going on here?
Oh.
And then carry on. Instead of just having him, like, walk in the background and be like, I'll see you next week, and I take off. Or just something dumb. So, I failed to mention that before. I actually like that.
No.
So. But yeah, I don't know. It's just an overall, like, okay week.
Yeah.
Just setting stuff up. But then, doesn't NXT have a takeover on Valentine's Day?
Well, AEW has their... It's not Bash at the Beach. Beach Party? The fuck are they calling
Beach Bash,
that?
I think.
Beach Bash?
Beach Bash. Yeah.
Is in 2 weeks. They might have some type of Valentine's Day thing going on for NXT. Like that isn't jogging my memory.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's a takeover on the 14th, which is probably where we're going to get Balor and somebody.
And I would imagine that the Dusty Cup finals, both of those matches will be on that pay-per-view, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
News on here. And apparently a semi of Miller Lite crashed through someone's home.
Oh.
Oh, my God. couldn't it at least been something decent?
Could at least be MGD.
I haven't had one of those in forever.
That was a go-to in the fine city of Altoona, yeah. Pennsylvania. I don't think I had it as much when I was around you, but and I don't know why MGD was such a big choice in Altoona.
It was probably cheap.
Well, I mean, yes.
I'll never forget the time. Like, I know we just shifted all of a sudden, but I'll never forget the time we put one of those in a freezer, and it actually froze, which is not supposed to happen.
Beer?
Yeah. Isn't the alcohol supposed to keep it from?
There's not enough alcohol in beer to keep it from freezing.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you need it needs to be a higher alcohol. It needs to be liquor, essentially. Like, I'm not sure what the cutoff point is, but beer isn't high enough in ABV. Like, I guess I'd be interested. I don't know if, like, one of those 12 percenters or something like that might do it. And plus, there's carbonation in that, and there isn't any in liquor, and I think that's a little bit of a problem when you're freezing things, too.
Oh. Oh, yeah, speaking of that, have you ever tried a Nitro IPA?
Probably, but nothing recently.
I didn't like it. It was a very weird feeling. It tasted okay.
Uh-huh.
But you're used to the carbonation, and then Nitro, just no. Like, you know, there's no carbonation there.
It's
very strange.
Oh, I didn't think about that aspect of the Nitro, yeah. Just because I got used to it with, you know, the Guinnesses of the world, which I did enjoy. And then
stout or a porter, sure, but I never had an IPA.
Yeah, because the only thing I didn't think about is something like, and it would be a different type of taste, I still think, doing an IPA from a cask, because that doesn't have as much carbonation to it, but there still is probably more than in the Nitro style.
Yeah,
I think.
I'm not a big fan of the Nitro anyways, so.
Yeah, I'll keep my eye out, but yeah, I can't think of one offhand that I've really had to know. I can talk about...
You know what an impression it made? I don't know what it was. I don't even remember where I had it. So,
Land-Grant Brewing Experimental Series Southern Hemisphere Pale Ale was my beverage of choice for this here very show. The Belltime beer of the show. I don't know if you were drinking anything.
I forgot.
I needed some drinking after the refinance, so before we get completely into old man talk, I figured we could get on out of here anyway. So,
yeah, because speaking of old man, someone's bladder's full again. So,
At DeFrango 11, at Granny Maze, Brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on all the places that you can, because you can basically download this on any platform that you might happen to be on. So enjoy, and good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.